Hello, здравствуйте, and welcome to Inside Out with me, Sam Gerrans, writing from Russia. Today I want to talk about how time behaves in England and Russia. In England, like everywhere else, we have time. Days seem to be neatly divided up into hours, which are then further divided into minutes and seconds. All the clocks of the land tick away in perfect unison, slicing off slivers of time like cold meats in a delicatessen. It's a linear operation, and one where the future is almost as predictable as the past. Of course, things happen to fudge this clarity. Small sticks get caught in the spokes every now and then. British Rail, for example. If the 1405 to Charing Cross is a few minutes late, people tut-tut and pace up and down and look at their watches and write to their MPs. Time has been thwarted in its duty, the natural order made mockery of, and it should be put to rights. Something must be done. If English time is linear and generally smooth, Russian time is amorphous and completely erratic. Something like hitting a semi-functional hyperspace button in a video game repeatedly for eternity. And with every new appearance on the screen, you, the player, have to adjust to an absolutely new set of circumstances. I say semi-functional because the button doesn't always work and you go through periods where things seem normal. But even during these periods, periods when you're not travelling at warp speed, the general context is still somewhat weird when it comes to time and how it behaves. For example, unlike anywhere else I've lived, Moscow is always open. There doesn't seem to be much of a concept of closing time. There are shops all over the city, and I don't mean pokey little corner shops, which are open 24/7. So, pretty much, whatever you want to buy, you can buy any time of day or night. Which seems to be great. This is an example of time speeding up. Except that when you get to the shop, or whatever it is, the person you need to do the thing you wanted to do may have just stepped out for a few minutes. Now, this does not mean a few minutes in English time. This is a few minutes in Russian time. And of course, no steps will be taken to expedite the return of the necessary but missing person. You just have to trust that this person is really coming. This can mean waiting for someone who may be just outside smoking a cigarette, or he may have gone home for the night or had a nervous breakdown without telling anyone. If you try to get clarity on exactly how long you're going to have to wait, people will try to pacify you with their only a few minutes routine, at which point you'll be glad if you brought something to read with you, something long. This sort of elastic use of time, mainly yours, is one of the reasons for the very Russian concept of something they call kontrolny zvonok, or a double-check call. This is a telephone call you make to someone with whom you have already agreed to do something just before you go to do the thing you agreed to do to make sure he hasn't forgotten, got drunk, run off with a neighbour's wife, or moved to Jamaica since you made the agreement. Your time counts for absolutely nothing here. People are extremely generous with it, and wasting it is not seen as any sort of insult. It's an endless commodity, a bit like oxygen. Of course, this is not so in the business world, where meetings have set times. But if you're really important, everyone will wait, and everyone understands that. This, combined with the traffic and other chaos factors in the city, mean that if your job requires meetings outside of your own office, you can have two a day. One in the morning, and one in the afternoon. But time can shoot about the place in even bigger bits. I was asked to interview a few years ago as a writer for a public relations agency. My background was in languages, and I can write a bit, and I'd worked as a consultant for various companies on a range of projects, so it wasn't such an obscure move. I have a very strange characteristic, or at least I'm told it is strange. I like job interviews. I'm rarely happier than when I'm in one, and I've almost always been offered any job I interviewed for. My problem is not the interview. My problem is that I lose interest in any job almost the second I get it. But I like meeting people who seem to have a heightened interest in me and the negotiation process itself. And since I was being interviewed by this PR company, I went into negotiation mode. The process lasted a couple of weeks, and at the end of it, not only did they offer me a job, but they made me one of the directors. So in one step, I was hyperspacing to a point that capable people worked towards for over 10 years. It was a great post and a good company, so I agreed, then went home to read up on the internet about what it was I'd agreed to do. Bureaucracy has its own time dimensions as well. Having jumped through all the hoops to get a stamp on a piece of paper, and then having delivered it to the right department so you can come back to get the next piece of paper on, say, the 26th, means nothing. If there's been a fly in the bureaucratic ointment due to their mistakes, you will not be told. And when you come in on the 26th, you'll simply be informed that you'll have to start all over again. And if you get annoyed and frustrated, you will be met with the ubiquitous shrug. That shrug really summarizes everything wrong with the old Soviet Union. It conveys in one gesture all the hopelessness, fatalism, lack of initiative, boredom, and crashing waste of human potential that that system imposed. The shrug means one thing: nothing can be done. And they're right, nothing can be done. And at this point, time slows to a standstill. Unless a miracle happens. And they do, all the time. For example, if instead of getting huffy with the official and winding up with the shrug, you happen to remark on the interesting brooch she's wearing, everything can magically be different. She may tell you about her auntie Sonia, who lived in Kamchatka, and who gave it to her as a wedding present, and about what a lovely lady she was, but how she's now, unfortunately, no longer with us. You might then say that your friend just got back from Kamchatka and he thought it was a beautiful part of the world. And after this bit of chit-chat, suddenly the thing you originally came in to do, which was going to take another month plus 4 hours travel time, may, magically, be done immediately, because she happens to be friends with Tatiana down the hall, who has the magic key to the magic safe where the magic stamp lies. The magic stamp which you need to turn your dull, grey, impotent document into a shiny, magic, virile one, saving you 1 month and 4 hours. Or she might look at the brooch and shrug anyway. And on that note, I'll close this week's issue of Inside Out. Until next time, this is Sam Gerrans in Russia, saying goodbye and до свидания.